today with our Ash Wednesday service. Thank you for those who were able to join us for that powerful gathering worship Wednesday night and began with the ashes on our foreheads. It's a season of repentance, prayer, fasting sometimes. It's a season to sort of recalibrate, if you will, to reset the soul of sorts. I was thinking about this the other day as I stepped on the scale. And you know, the scale, you know, your bathroom scale, you check your weight every once in a while, and I thought, wow, I've lost a lot of weight recently. That's wonderful. And then I got off the scale, and I realized as I came back that it read like -7. Oh. It wasn't an accurate scale. It needed to be recalibrated. It needed to be reset back to actual zero, right? It happens in scales. It happens in a lot of technologies, some quirk, something gets it out of whack, and it needs to get reset back to kind of true north or zero or beginning point, whatever it is. And it feels like Lent gets to be that season of our souls where we recalibrate. We kind of reset again on who God is and who God's calling us to become. And so that's really, I think it happens whenever we worship together and whenever we dive into the scriptures, but Lent is a special season, so it seems more than appropriate that we say that's kind of what's happening here. And for the season of Lent, connected to our study, We Make the Road by Walking, a book some of you are reading along with, Brian McLaren, the author, decided, how do we want to recalibrate? What are we going to study in this season? Well, he decided to pick the Sermon on the Mount. That seems pretty appropriate. It was that most central of Jesus' message and teachings that seems probably uttered it several times. We have kind of two different versions in Matthew and Luke. And he begins it with the Beatitudes. We know the Beatitudes. We've heard them. We heard a particular version in the midst of our prayer of confession this morning. But I want to hear a little different version this morning, if you will. Now it starts and it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the rich and famous, because they can always get the best seats at the restaurants. Blessed are the good-looking, for they shall be on the cover of People magazine. Blessed are those who party, for they really know how to have fun. Blessed are those who take first place in the division. They'll have momentum going into the playoffs. Blessed are the movers and shakers. They shall make a name for themselves. Blessed are those who demand their rights, for they shall not be overlooked. Blessed are the healthy and fit, because they don't mind being seen in their bathing suit on spring break. Blessed are those who make it to the top, because they get to look down on everyone else. Blessed, blessed, blessed. No, obviously these are not the Beatitudes. You know the Beatitudes well enough to know I'm pulling a fast one or a slow one, as it seems and feels on this spring forward morning. Those are a version of 21st century Beatitudes a pastor shared in a sermon a while back, where what he was getting at was, of course, what we wrestle with day in and day out in our culture. Those Beatitudes, those are sort of how culture looks at the world and says, that's success. Those are people who've made it. Those are people who seem blessed. They've got it all together. They've got all the goods. And in fact, I think it's not that far off from the first century mindset, really, that people had as well. They looked to the powerful and the rich, the well-to-do, the haves, the one percenters. They looked at all of them and they said, well, they're the ones God must favor. They've got it all. And so it is that Jesus, as he gets up to begin proclaiming his message, to help recalibrate people under the ways of God and the character of God, He starts with what we know as the more traditional, not the other ones, but the real Beatitudes. He starts by proclaiming to them these ideas that are entirely counter to the theology and the mindset of the day. And I'm going to read the real Beatitudes. Don't want to spend a morning without that. But instead of having the scriptures written on the screen up here, as we often do, instead there's some paintings you're going to see. This is from an artist named Hyatt Moore. He's a man from California who did a series of paintings on the Beatitudes. And as I read them slowly, meditatively, thoughtfully, I want us to see each of the images. They're his interpretation, his idea, I think, of who is Jesus thinking of as he shares the Beatitudes. Because, in fact, if we think about Jesus and the way he taught, more than not, Jesus wouldn't sort of teach something out of thin air. He would, in fact, see something happening, see somebody passing by or a moment taking place, and he would use that as an object lesson, if you will. Sort of like we had our fish banks this morning. Say, how could we help people around the world and care for them? Oh my goodness, look, fish banks, right? I think that's kind of what Jesus does often in his teaching. And I suspect this is what's going on in the Sermon on the Mount. That as the crowds are gathering, as the people are there, and he begins to share these blessed comments, the Beatitudes, that he's not just drawing them out of thin air. I think he's actually looking at particular people in the crowd, and he's thinking of them. So perhaps hear the Beatitudes a little differently this morning, see them a little differently as you see it in art from Hyatt Moore. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they will find mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I find his artwork powerful. And notice, in each one there is this sense of pain, of loss, of hopelessness, helplessness. I think that's a part of what Jesus is talking about in the Beatitudes when he says, blessed are these. He's not saying happy are. That sometimes has been one of those miscalculations and interpretations, I think, that somehow these are people who will be happy if they're like this. But that doesn't make any sense. They're not joy-filled. Each of those images, to me, speaks of someone longing for something more. recognizing an emptiness, a loss, a place of abandon or weakness, I guess. I think that's what Jesus was getting at. It was all the people there in that crowd who felt sort of helpless and hopeless thought that that meant they were on the outs with God. Somehow they didn't have enough faith, enough righteousness, enough goodness. They looked at the religious authorities and the people in power and thought they're the ones God favors. But see, Jesus is recalibrating things here. He's resetting the identity and the mindset. Who does God look upon and favor? Who does God welcome into the kingdom? Not those who have and lord it over others, it's those who have not. Those who feel desperation. Those who feel at their wits' end. In a way, that, I think, is what Jesus is up to in the Beatitudes. He's changing the whole way we look and understand God. And who God favors, if you will. Who God blesses and welcomes first and foremost. See, part of the mindset in the first century, and I think part of the 21st mindset still, is that we're blessed by God if we're working hard enough for it. If we're doing all the right things. Somehow we sort of earn God's favor that way. That was certainly the way the law had been misinterpreted in the ancient world. Well, the law was given for good purposes, but people began to live into it and think, but if I live by the law, no matter what's going on internally, then I've got things right with God. I've got control of God. Well, that's not what Jesus is telling them. He's saying, no. You're blessed not because you've got all the right things or doing all the right things, not because you've earned God's favor, but because of who God is. Because God looks out for the poor in spirit, looks out for the mourning and the meek, those in pain and hopelessness, and lifts them up and says, it's not what you've earned, it's who I am. These are really the first sort of words about grace without hearing the word grace. You come out of the Beatitudes. This is the recalibrating. Brian McLaren puts it this way. He says, the Beatitudes point to the good news of God's justice as deliverance. Deliverance of the poor and the oppressed, the needy, the weak, and the lowly. And that is happening in Jesus, this resetting, deliverance. And will continue to happen in the community practices of his followers. And that's why we need to hear again and again to be reset, recalibrated. Because we get out of whack. I get out of whack. I see ball players signing $300 million contracts. And I think, whoa, wow, they've got it made. See, somehow I'm equating that finance, that salary, that career with blessedness, but that's really immaterial. It's more about who we are inside. Do we have a sense of need for God? Those are the ones Jesus seemed to always be reaching out to, the ones who always felt unworthy of God. The ones who felt worthy, the ones who sort of were puffed up and prideful because they lived by the law and righteousness. Those are the ones Jesus always had trouble with. He said, you need a resetting. I need a resetting, recalibrating in this Lenten season. Understand God's grace. You need to stop trying to earn God's favor, but just receive it. Recognize my need, my brokenness. It's a part of Lent, repentance. I think all those who are sort of humbled by that and say, Lord, boy, I don't have it. God says, good. Now you've got it. When you let go enough to let me in, that's when I show up. The Beatitudes and the rest of the Sermon on the Mount that we're gonna explore over the next several weeks through Lent, this is the way that Jesus is sort of recalculating, reestablishing the set point for our souls, the true north, and saying, this is who God has created us to be. This is who God is. We've gotten it wrong and off kilter so many times. Let's get it right. Let's begin to live into it. As one commentator put it, the Beatitudes are not high ideals, but they are about God's deliverance, gracious deliverance, and our joyful participation in that deliverance. So we're recalculating, reestablishing who we are as people in need of a God of grace and love in this season. Not something we can earn, work out, control, but without control, without resource, we come and say, Lord, help. This morning we heard a traditional version of the Beatitudes. There's a kind of a modern paraphrase of them from Eugene Peterson. He was a Presbyterian minister and professor. He did a version of the Bible called The Message. We've used it occasionally here. This morning I want to close by reading sort of his version of the Beatitudes, because he sort of gives us another little angle to them. And I hope as you hear them, they might help reset your soul this morning. You are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that cannot be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He is food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right, and then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You are blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution, and the persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Friends, as you are desperate for God this season of Lent, feeling perhaps a little hopeless or helpless, faith at a distance, know you are blessed. Gracious God, these are words we need to hear. Help us reset this morning, recalibrate our souls to your ways of grace. Week by week, O Lord, we get out of whack, lost into the cycles of greed and discord, performance and pride. But instead, oh God, you are the one who comes to love and to forgive, and to renew, to reset, to do your work in us in this season, we ask today in Jesus' name. Amen.